we can get started. I guess Joe couldn't make it today. And yep, Sylvan, looks like I'm going to have a thing to talk to you about with this.
Okay.
And I'm going to have more things to talk to you about afterwards, if you have a little bit of time before I have to get ready and run off to the ballet.
Okay.
But I probably shouldn't have been recording all that. But now everybody, apparently people, by the way, people on IRC say they actually listen to this, who don't attend. So hi, everybody on IRC.
Hey, IRC people. That's fantastic. I love that.
I too. I feel like it's less worthless to be doing it. In fact, not worthless at all. So we have a couple RFCs today to start with. The first one is, and I'm glad Andy's here, is export functions for calling class methods from C. This is RFC 33.
I totally support this.
You wrote it. You should support it.
I also absolutely support it.
I think it's a very good first step. And Andy, this is actually being used, isn't it?
Not exactly quite yet, but it will be very soon.
Fantastic. I'm just looking over. It's the thingy. Is there anything majorly different, Andy, from the stuff that we talked about before?
Nope, it's pretty much exactly that.
Oh, that's awesome. I totally vote for this.
Excellent. Excellent.
Wow, this is a really good write-up, too.
Oh, my day's done. Write-ups are really easy if you've already implemented it and you're just describing what you've done.
Okay, so we say yes to this?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Where's the damn thing? Okay. Merge. All right. Now I'll have to update all of the things later. The next RFC is number 39. This is allow TCP notifiers to cause connections to yield while receiving.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I vote for this.
I do too. Anybody object? All right then. I'm going to take that as a no, and I'm going to merge.
Hooray.
All right. Oh my God. If I'm gonna open a PR for this soon, because geez, it'll make my life so much easier with switching between compilers if this is in the
mainline. Yeah.
It will make my life so much easier. Okay, PRs. We got PRs up the wazooty. Let's start with PR 1124. This is restrict mutable tuple recovery and Benoit says this should be ready to merge if it looks good to Sylvan C in GDS 12. So I added needs discussion at sync to make sure that you actually saw it, because I know otherwise you're not really reading the GitHub emails right now. You're off listening to the jam, right? You are listening to the jam?
Yep.
And writing your thesis.
Yep.
Keep listening to the jam, because as everybody...
I write more that way.
Yes, you write more if you're listening to the jam.
This everybody. PR looks good to me. I like having a cap immutable or opaque function to cover stuff. I love that there are test cases. And it looks good.
Hey, Benoit, can you rebase against master for the changelog and make sure it's in the correct changelog location, and then push it again, and then we can merge?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. And needs discussion during sync, no longer. All right, next is 11, 12, 10. And this one is from Benoit. This is to add the 3.9 support. He says, it looks like Homebrew isn't moving forward with the 3.9-ness. I know George was trying to help move that along, but, you know, it's, and he's wondering if it's possible to use pre-built binaries from LLVM.org and OSX CI. If it is, you think it'd be good? I think they shut down all the downloading for that, but it's something we could look into. I know they're trying to keep people from downloading anything from them. Is there a specific pre-built binaries that you're talking about?
Yeah, if you click on the download page, there's a Clang for LLVM 3.9 tar file, but I don't think that that includes the development libraries. I think that's Clang without the development libraries.
It didn't have the development libraries in the past.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking probably no. We're probably stuck waiting for them.
Yes, I think at this point.
Is there any reason not to turn on 3.9 support for Linux and CI at least? And
that's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, I think we should do that. And basically just comment out the OS X ones and the non-existent Homebrew 3.9 fetch.
Can we do that? Can we have a different matrix based on those?
Yeah, if you look at the change, lines 156 to 168 get commented out.
Okay.
And on line 171.
Right, we don't, or you mean line 210?
I'm sorry, line 210.
Yeah, okay. So basically we're saying we'll support 3.9 on everything that's not OS X.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have 3.9 on for Windows?
I believe we do. I'm just a second here trying to.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
So you'll make that update? Benoit? As it's your pull request?
Yes, I do.
Cool. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Next PR is 1320. So Joe's not here. Mouthy's not here. There's a change that I would like to see. So let's skip that one right now. I left it in case they were here. All right.
Okay.
Let's go to the far more important one, which is 1329. So you know that kaboom that you just had, Sylvan?
Yeah.
With that code? This fixes that. I know because I've been running this locally, but it does have some other changes.
Okay.
So this would be a good one to discuss. I'll let you and Benoit discuss right now. I will say that this does fix some smash kaboom errors.
Really?
Yes, but for, well, other reasons. Anyway, Benoit, you can talk because it's his change.
Okay.
Okay, so... This is the idea here is to remove the compare and swap loop in the scheduler queue to get rid of the ABA problem, because in the current algorithm, there is a bitwise operations, and there are some problems with memory that gets unaligned, and I've not been able to figure what's going on exactly. Maybe it's because we are violating a rule in the C standard, but static analysis doesn't return anything, so I don't know what's happening exactly. So to fix it, I've this change has a starvation free algorithm instead of a log free one.
Oh dear. Do these problems happen if we use a double word compare and swap?
No. But the performance is quite terrible with a double word compare and swap.
Okay, so for the scheduler queue, ignoring the stuff on pool because it's effectively the same, we add a ticket and a wait to the queue. We do an atomic fetch and add to get a ticket. We wait for waiting for to match the ticket. We thread fence. Load the tail, load next. Next is null, we're done. We store our ticket. Advancing to the next user. We store our next, and we store our ticket in the non-bailout case. Thread fence again. We have relaxed load and thread fence again. Okay. So this moves from a CAS loop to a single atomic operation with two relaxed weights, as opposed to a CAS loop and one relaxed weight. This seems actually rather good. It looks like this performance is going to be better than the compare and swap performance. Does that sound right? The only thing I'm worried about is the thread fences.
Yeah. The threat fence in ONNX 86 doesn't generate any instruction except for a sequentially consistent fence.
I know a way we could test this as well. If we were to merge this and take care of this does take care of a number of crashing bugs right now.
Okay.
Even if we decided to go back to something else like the double word, right? I can merge this over into the version that we're using at Sendence and put it through our performance testing things and see if there's a change in our performance.
Fabulous. My initial impression of this is that Benoit has built something very, very nice indeed.
I've been using it for probably 50% of my pony development for a week now, and I've not noticed any change in performance for things. I've been switching between compilers, and I haven't seen between ones that have this and ones that don't, and I haven't seen any change in performance.
Fantastic.
I think it's been a week. Is it been a week since you did this, Benoit? I think? Opened it, right?
Yeah, about a week.
Yeah, it's been however long this has been open. I grabbed this PR and I've been running. I've been working against this PR since he opened it.
Brilliant. Let's merge it. Benoit, is this an algorithm you designed or is this one that you picked up somewhere? Because I haven't seen this before.
No, it's mine. There are probably ways to improve it, I think.
Okay.
All right, so Benoit, can you do the rebase against master for a changelog, and then we can merge?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. And I mean, worst case scenario on this is we see a performance degradation, but it does fix some crashing bugs, and we can address it then. There's a couple of them that definitely go away.
And it's faster than the double word compare and swap?
I haven't noticed any, like with the extensive stuff that we push everything through, where we're really utilizing those queues a lot,
yeah, right?
Hundreds of thousands of times a second. I haven't seen any noticeable difference at that level. So it would have to become, if there is a difference, it would have to be hiding behind something in our code.
Okay, cool.
Which would mean that it would probably be hiding behind stuff in almost everybody's code. okay, so next is thirteen thirty-five, which means that the one that I said earlier. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. And we're gonna. So this was actually the one where I wanted to change. So let's go look at 26 for a minute. Okay, so Sylvan, before we merge this, just to let you know, 1320, that's actually one we had merged.
Okay.
That's the change from C pointer to C string.
Okay.
All right, that one. You're good with that, right?
C pointer to C string?
Yeah, that was the RFC you voted on it.
I'm all for that.
It crosses 26 files, but it passes everything. So I'm going to merge this. All right.
Great.
All righty. Dun. Okay. Pull requests. That's the one I wanted to change for. Okay. We have Joe's. He's not here, but it's 1339. And Benoit had a question about a thing on here. I figured take a look at it now, Sylvan, see if there's any comments you have on it. Otherwise, they can work out their little thing there, and then it could be ready for merge. But take a quick look.
Which one?
1339.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Excellent. Right. Okay. I'm not sure whether errors checking the error count. There is a good idea or not. To be honest, I'm not sure. But whichever way, I think it's fine for Joe and Benoit to figure that one out and do it. It's good to fix.
Okay. All right. So we can move on from that one. We got another one that's going through. Okay, let's move on to some issues. All right. Let's take a look at issues which have this. Let's see.
Did we want to hit 1335?
Which one's that?
It says needs discussion on it.
Is 1335 the one with the split?
Yeah.
So take a look at it real quick. There's a match statement in that, which I think is a bad idea. Let's see what you think.
Okay.
It's the one that Joe pointed out.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think having the match. Why do we want split on an empty string?
Character. What do you think it should do? I'm neither for nor against that. I have zero opinion on whether.
Yeah, I just I feel exactly the same way. I feel like what I don't want to do is accommodate what I consider an edge case by making what I would consider the normal case more difficult.
More difficult how?
Slower.
Slower, yeah. Okay, so then I talked during sync. If this has no impact on the normal case, we are good with this. But if it causes a performance degradation for the normal use case, we are not in favor of this. Comment done. Okay. Good. All right. Issues. There are so many. We can talk more about the uncontrolled memory usage one later. Just
okay.
517 and 647, because they seem to be gone, and they seem to be gone with Benoit's fix, where you can actually run them without it crashing if you use the release compiler. But there's a massive explosion if the debug compiler.
Which one?
517 and 647.
Okay.
If you build with the release compiler and Benoit's fix that we merge, or we're going to merge, so that it doesn't crash before it gets to the memory use, then everything is good. But if you build with the debug compiler, we have skyrocketing memory usage.
Okay.
So I mean, this is of great interest to me. So if not today, then sometime, maybe this weekend, we can do another thing to talk more about because it's definitely not what we talked about last weekend.
Okay.
So let's move on to some other ones for other folks, though, right now, trying to work our way backwards. License isn't up to date. Benoit, open this. This is the, it still says causality.
Oh, dear.
This is a thing that you and I talked about months ago and then decided we didn't want to touch it at that point in time.
Yeah.
I still don't know what the legal stuff on that is.
I think it's fine. Causality is no more. It's no longer exists. I think an author's file is a fine way to go. There are other approaches too. I'm not like, for example, LLVM. Uses something.
So basically say it's copyright the authors and then have an author's file?
Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to...
So one of the ways to break this down is whether there's copyright assignment or not.
Right.
Well, to get copyright... There hasn't been any copyright assignment up to this point because you have to explicitly state that that's happening, right? Yeah. I'm correct in that, right? Am I wrong? Okay.
I'm
not sure that's correct.
Nobody's telling me if I'm wrong or if I'm right.
I think you're wrong.
I thought that joke was funny.
I don't think most people got that joke. Anyway. Okay, I don't think we need copyright.
I don't think we need copyright assignment. I'm just looking at the way LLVM does it. They've actually got this copyright going to UIUC for all of LLVM, regardless of who contributes.
So that would be assignment.
Well, but there's no need to do anything. It's just right. That's where it goes. Did you contribute? Therefore, it's copyrighted by the copyrightor. I'm fine with anything that any reputable open source project uses, because I think the entire issue of copyrights and patents is insane, and anything that anyone does that is sort of functional is absolutely fine.
So, all right. I'm being called from Lake County, British Columbia. I don't know what that is. Okay. Probably Canadian spam. So what about it's just copyright the authors and then there's an author's file with everybody.
Great.
Basically, you keep copyright to what you did.
Well, you can't because one knows what you did.
Well...
And the entire concept is insane. So nobody can keep copyright. And I want to make sure that that's clear, that no one is keeping any copyright to pony under that, because that's not a thing.
I think we should probably, find some lawyer willing to help us out here.
So if you check out how the author's system works on CZMQ, it says contributors. It has a big list of contributors. That's all fine and all. But if you'll get the copyright thing at the top, it just says copyright Brocade Communication Systems. So right now there's no particular organization to assign copyright to, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a quick look. Yeah, the way the Mozilla license does it. I don't think there's any need for any kind of legal advice or anything. There's no legal issue here. I think nobody should worry about that at all. Really, it's just a question of picking how we do it. I think using an author's file is fine, but I want to be clear that when you use an author's file, a copyright notice goes at the top. I'm happy if we assign it to me. I'm happy if we assign it to someone else in the community. I'm happy if we assign it to the EFF. I'm happy if we assign it to pretty much anything reputable. Yeah, but all we need is just something at the top that is an assignment.
All right, so I think we can come back to that for figuring out who.
Okay.
And fixy some bugs. 13.
Okay. Did I say 14? That's my fault.
Okay. Well, I'm the one who normally mixes.
Not this time.
Oh, but Joe, yeah.
All right, looks like we have a clever one.
Clever is a word for it. A vowel getting modified.
Yeah. Okay, let me read this carefully. Ah, why are we being allowed to call Boom?
Yes.
Boom is ref.
Yes. Should not be allowed to call Boom.
No.
That's bad. That's supposed to be an error.
That is very clearly supposed to be an error. That's a bug rather than a type system problem. Oh, good. Excellent. Bug.
Joe has a possible fix. Have you scrolled down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So in subtype.c cap sub cap bound is type param sub type param. Okay, I'm putting myself on this one. And I don't want to talk through it on the call. I'll have a bang on this. But this is totally fixable.
So Joe's thing's not correct?
I don't know yet. It may well be correct, but not in exactly quite the way he put it.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're on a lot of stuff you know already. Just to let you know.
I know.
Okay. All right. All right, 1326. Pony Pants.
1326. Yeah, I'm a little bit confused. A block of memory large enough to hold them plus a tag is exactly what Pony already does.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Benoit's description is exactly correct. So that block of memory plus a tag is the thing that would have to be allocated in order to put a machine word into, which is what we already do.
Closed.
Yeah.
Look, it's mine. 1311. So this is the discussion about a test. Okay.
Okay.
So part of one of the back pressure hooks is throttling, right?
Okay.
How do we test that throttling works? That when we experience back pressure, that we actually call the throttling hook.
Okay. Sorry, I'm having network. Well, I'm having GitHub problems. Everything else is working. GitHub. I'm 1311. Okay, here we go.
So I have a test for reading, right? And discovered awful, awful things as part of testing reading.
Okay.
Horrible, awful things. And suddenly I don't think IOCP is so bad anymore.
Yes. IOCP is actually a surprisingly good mechanism.
It's certainly in that particular case a lot better than the alternative in Linux. But okay, so now testing... testing back pressure. It's relatively easy to test in the read case, right? We can say, all right, I'm going to test to make sure that I can turn this on and off, right?
Okay.
Basically. Here you go. When I turn it off, I don't get anything. But in the write case, in the case of write, it's we're doing something and we're expecting to get a result back, which is that if we can't write anymore, that the throttle method would be called. But unfortunately, that's entirely variable based on the size of buffers in the OS.
And what other applications are doing on the NIC, et cetera, et cetera.
For tests. So, the one idea that could be done is to say, to just start writing an awful lot of stuff to this where the other side is, where we've muted the other side, and set a long test timeout so that if your buffers are particularly huge, that we could fill them up quickly enough before the test runs out, you know, so maybe like 10 seconds or 20 right. seconds or whatever it might be. That's in general Joe's idea, and that seems potentially flaky to me. On the other hand, I don't see any other way to test it. I'm happy to put it in under the idea that we might need to take it out if it's
right.
not dependable, but I wanted to get input from people on that.
So if we set up two sockets inside the same program.
Yes.
And you're making sure not to bind to loopback so that you actually go to the card. Is that the idea?
It's doing whatever TCP test does.
Binds to loopback.
Maybe that's why our friggin' tests fail.
Loopback is really not gonna, it's really, yeah, hard to block.
What?
Hard to block loop on loopback. It's just
okay. Okay, so we'd have to go to the NIC itself rather than the loopback for this test. Okay.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of times, I find that my network knowledge is out of date, and so I might be wrong on that.
So connecting to 127.0.0.1, I can fairly easily cause this to happen.
And cause throttling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine then. Then you don't need to go to the NIC. That's good.
Right. The only question would be is the amount of time that it takes. And are we okay with setting a test that has like a long timeout of like 10 seconds possibly?
That we're not expecting to get to that timeout.
We're not expecting to get to it, but setting something like that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, and all right, Joe, it was Joe's idea. Hi, Joe. I see you just joined. If two folks are okay with it, on that, then I'll go ahead and do it. I just wanted somebody else to say, yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah. If it turns out that we are hitting the 10-second timeout and it's making everybody's testing really unpleasant, then we can revisit this. But theoretically, we won't be hitting the timeout anyway.
right. Okay, the next one is 1307, but I'm going to leave that because I'm wondering if I'm going to wait and see if Benoit's fix fixes. It
looks just like it's the same thing.
Yeah, I think it probably is. So let's skip that one for this time.
Good.
1248. This was a big one here. There was some conversation on this. Are we basically saying, from when we got to the end of this, based on the previous one, that this issue should be closed and somebody should turn it into an RFC, or what?
All right. I'd be okay with changing the name of that without an RFC, on the theory that it's probably just a bug in the standard library to be calling that thing maybe pointer. On the other hand, since I named it maybe, and that was very wrong, and then somehow I named it maybe pointer, and that's just as wrong, I nominate everyone in the world that isn't me to name this thing.
I think that's why we suggested to go through the RFC processes so that we could get a little bit more input.
Yeah.
Great. Sounds so good.
If we have a thing that comes in like this that we decide should be an RFC, then I'd say that we label it with turn into RFC and then close it.
Sounds good.
Yes?
Yeah, I don't know. So there's been kind of a question in my mind around this too. Like, there's sometimes somebody comes in with a feature request that's just out of the blue, and we ask them to turn it into an RFC and we close it. I think that's appropriate. I don't know if it's a different situation when we decide that someone really needs to make this RFC. I don't know if there's... Maybe then we should open a ticket in the RFC repo that says, someone please make this RFC. So that way there's still an open action item somewhere for people to track.
I like that.
Okay. So I can do that for this one, and we can start doing that in the future for ones that we decide, yes, this needs to be done, but nobody is jumping to do it right now.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Okay, so I'll do that and then close this ticket.
Okay. Okay. Alrighty. Trying to get through some backlog. 1240, opened by one Andrew Turley. From September 19th, we haven't got to it yet. I don't think. Well, we did, but let's see.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. Where is this? Yes, it looked like since the point in time when it was discussed, Benoit had come up with an additional comment, and I wasn't sure. Yes, it says like he investigated something, and I thought it would be good to bring this up again, seeing how there was some progress.
Sorry, what's the number on that?
1240.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if Benoit's investigation changes anything at this point.
Let's see here. Benoit, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, the problem with that is that I think it is completely compiler dependent. So, for example, if we wanted to support that, we'd have to do a different implementation. Whether we would be calling a function, a C function compiled by GCC or by Microsoft compiler. And yeah. I think that would be complex.
Yeah, and complex and evil. So given that this is an alignment issue, and that originally I used tuples, the addresses of tuples to retrieve stuff from C because we hadn't implemented struct yet, I think probably the right solution is to disallow the address of operator on tuples. Oh, I see. Oh, and when you oh, wait, no, I see. This is different. This is the returning a tuple?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. There's actually another one.
Use a lot of it there. I saw that.
I was reading the wrong way for this. I apologize, everybody. We should just catch and stop returning tuples from ever working.
Okay. I mean,
and in fact, basically returning any kind of structure by value is, as Benoit says, not only incredibly platform dependent, but highly problematic. There are many things that go wrong, even in a C compiler, if you do that. So that's what we should do. Is I was thinking this was going the other direction. I thought it was when you were passing in an address. Of my apologies. We should disable returning tuples.
Okay. Disable that and pull it out of the documentation.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I read this totally backwards. And in fact, there's another issue relating to this that's also open, and we can close it too.
We can't close this yet. We need to create.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I meant close it once the thing is done.
The fix to this bug is to remove this stuff, right?
Yeah. And it's so one. If you look at 140, issue number 140, that's the same problem.
Is this still a medium difficulty?
Actually, now that we know that the right solution is to disallow Pony from doing this, it's actually relatively easy.
Yeah, that should be an easy difficulty. I can probably tackle that, actually.
Awesome.
If the answer is just a compiler error, I can handle that.
easy would be one where somebody with limited experience with a compiler pick it up and do it. Yes, easy.
Actually,
I think so. I mean, you just need to be able to look at the type of an AST and
okay, all right,
and refuse gracefully.
Okay, that one's been updated. I'm gonna try and keep us going. I'm gonna skip that one because it's more of a conversation thing. 1225. Let's see. So this was one where he was on. So, so I should be able to. This was, is there a way for, was he on Windows or is this, I'm trying to figure out if this was an LLVM 3.8 or an LLVM 3.81 thing.
It's 3.80.
It's 3.80. I updated everything already to tell people to use 3.81, not 3.80 because of the bug fixes.
And this is only in combination with GCC 6.
So this is, do we feel safe saying that this was a 3.80 issue and we can close it?
In the absence of any complaint, yes. Someone can open a new issue if it turns out we were wrong.
If you experience this with 3.8.1 or other supported LLVMs, please open a new issue. Let's see, to anyone reading in the future, comma, there we go. Just so it's not closing comment. Okay. All right. Trying to clear out more because we have so many that are in the past. We got 10 minutes. Let's see. Are there any that Benoit slapped? Okay. I'm going to jump to one where Benoit asked for it to be discussed during sync. This is 11:56. The for loop generates, for loop sugar generates bad code.
Sorry, I'm just waiting forever for GitHub.
Bad GitHub.
Eleven fifty-six. There we go.
For loop sugar generates bad code.
Yeah.
So continue is totally the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like it's continue. Well, it's the memory allocation. Or maybe the two together.
Right. But that continue and the way that it affects the for loop is then going to affect if someone writes a while loop by hand in exactly the same way.
Yes.
Okay. So that's quite interesting. Because the issue there is the domination, right?
I'm not sure because I tested in C with Clang with similar constructs.
Yeah.
And when the iterator is allocated on the heap, then it's not optimized even in C.
Oh,
it's. I think it's a combination of the control flow and the memory allocation.
Oh wow! Okay. I did not expect that. But so then maybe the issue is not trying to change the way the blocks are structured in terms of how continue works. Because it's even if we change the way we were generating for continue, we'd have the same problem.
Yeah, that is continue used often in a real code base. Because we could say that if somebody wants performance, they then continue is not advised.
Right.
Not advised to use. But this issue with the for loop is that it's generated automatically.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
would it be okay to replace the continue with a break?
So if we replace it with a break, then for always will return a union type. Because it'll be a break none, right? Because we don't know what else to return. And that means if you use for as an expression,
maybe we can paste the else block in the break expression.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow. Is there anything that's wrong with that?
Well, actually, I think we could even make break without a value jump to the S block directly. Because the issue with continue is that it goes through the header of the loop.
Right, exactly.
So going directly to the else, maybe that would be different.
Yeah. Well, that's quite interesting. In fact, that could be perfectly good semantics for all uses of break. I'm just going through all our uses of break in the real code. In the standard library. Yep. We can do that. Break without anything should jump to the else block instead of being an implicit none. And it should do it for everything. And then we sugar it as break instead of continue. Ben, why you so smart? Damn, that's good.
Okay, so that sounds like it needs a documentation change as well.
Yep.
Is somebody capturing that in the ticket already?
I'm writing it down.
Cool.
And then we're at the end, but there's one more which is tagged for discussion, which is a high priority one that will take about probably, it's a less than 1 minute combo. So when you're done, Sylvan, great. Because it's actually a question that I asked that I have for you.
Okay, great. Which one?
It's 937, which 9:37, if you'll see, I commented about 4 days ago. It looks suspiciously to me like 11:18, and I would feel good right now of saying that we're going to assume that the fix for 11:18 is 9:37.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, that was the only thing. We are assuming this is the same issue as 11:18. Yes. 11:18, and once that is fixed, we'll test this again to verify.
And then, so sorry I missed the very top of this call. Sylvan, it sounds like you just went ahead and assigned the Gen Cap type. Subtyping issue yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to talk about it with you if you like. Basically, I'm not sure if it's is cap subcap bound, because that's on is type param subtype param. And really, what we should be looking at there is ref shouldn't be an acceptable target for something that's a hash read. So it might be somewhere else, but the problem is very clearly not it's not a type system bug, it's an implementation bug, thank God.
Okay, well, I traced it, and we did end up at that function that I pointed out.
Oh, online 1086 of subtype.c?
Opening text editor, subtype.c, 1086. Yeah, so we ended up in is type param subtype param. We ended up in is cap subcap bound. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's exciting.
And you end up at is type param subtype param every time the sub is a type param and the super is a type param, right?
Yeah.
Which part do you think we should have been branching away at?
What a damn good question.
Yeah, because they're both showing up as A, the type param. One is A read and the other is A ref. And so you end up in is type param sub type param. And then
is A ref because of course it is. Yes.
Yeah, and then sub def equals super def because they're both.
Because it does.
We need some other branch there, I'm guessing, to distinguish from cases where, yeah.
And what we want to do is. Distinguish whether we're testing a bind as opposed to not testing a bind. That's the only use in the entire code base of is cap sub cap bound.
Right. So when you're talking about we're testing a bind, you mean like assigning a right side to a left side?
I apologize. I mean a type argument binding. If we're looking for a type argument binding as opposed right. to a normal subtyping relationship, then we want to use is cap sub cap bound. And otherwise we don't. So the only time, thank you so much for bringing this up again, Joe. So it's
So which situation are we needing to do the subcap bound? Can you give me an example?
Yeah, it's when we're checking constraints. So in reify.c.
Right. Okay. That makes perfect sense.
269.
Right, because yeah, ref is a subtype of read when you're reifying.
Yep. And at no other point. So the correct solution. Oh wow! In fact,
to not use if subtype in reify.
Yeah.
Okay, so actually, I can I know you don't have a lot of time, so I think I understand the situation enough for it to be assigned to me.
Then you are totally my hero.
And so just to check in, reify.c, line 269, the comment says a bound type must be a subtype of the constraint. That's the is subtype we need to replace?
Yeah.
Okay, that's easy enough.
All right, you're assigned.
Yay.
Okay, so we didn't get through all of our discussed during sync ones, but we did clear out all of them except for one, which are labeled as high priority. So, except for a couple that I need to discuss with Sylvan. But all right, that's feeling pretty good for today.
Fantastic.
Hopefully we can get away from some issue things. Maybe the one after this one? I don't know. We have a bit of a backlog to get through. But thanks for coming, everyone. I'm going to stop recording now. Sylvan, don't disappear.
Can we just get over one more if we have time?
Okay.
We'll do it. Sure.
Just real quick.
Yep. Thank Which you very one? Much.
It's 993. Arithmetic conversions can result in LVM undefined values.
Yes.
So, yeah, Protonus came up with a good proposal here.
So I just wanted to get some feedback on that proposal and. And I don't know if I should make an RFC for this.
Okay.
So it's in my last comment on the issue. It's about...
Yeah, reading it now. Yeah. Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned, while Sylvan's reading it, as far as I'm concerned, if we can come to an agreement that the semantics that you outlined are correct. I think you can skip RFC because it's a basic matter of correctness and of performance, really.
Yeah. It looked right to me when I read it. These are the parts of the sync calls when people are listening. They're really exciting for them.
Yeah, sorry about that. So Demi-Marie is right about Stein, Rodal, and Rodar. On the other hand, I think changing it so Rodal and Rodar simply aren't defined on signed numbers is totally fine. And that's probably simpler and will give people the behavior that they expect.
So if it's not defined for signed numbers, you could still convert to an unsigned explicitly and then...
Okay. And then shift it, and then you get exactly what you expect because you knew it was an unsigned number when you shifted it. I think the semantics look good. Yep, and the trust boundary is important. So Benoit, I think this is good. Why do you think it Distributed Pony will need a refinement?
I don't remember.
Okay. I'm reading it, and I thought that was a really interesting comment. And then I reread it again and said, wait a minute, I think this actually holds in a distributed context.
I can get it back.
Okay. Well, if you think about it,
I'm going to assume it's probably around the causal messaging stuff, which... if people haven't had conversations with you about this, they would have questions about whether that holds or not.
Okay.
That would be my guess, right? Like if I send from actor A on this machine to actor B on that other machine, are the messages still guaranteed to have a causal ordering?
Right.
Et cetera type things.
Okay. This looks good. I think the right thing to do for Rodl and Rodr is indeed to limit it to sign numbers. We definitely don't want a slow path, and it's true that you can mask off, like Demi Marie says. You have to mask them off and mask them back on again, which is annoying, but it doesn't require a conditional. But just not doing them is probably the semantics that people expect.
Okay. And I just have a very last question.
Okay.
Do we want new operators for the unsafe operations? Or should we just keep call the functions directly?
I see. So, yeah. So having some kind of like, divide dot or something for the unsafe divide, like slash dot, or that's a horrible, horrible symbol, but something like that. Is that what you're thinking?
Slash exclamation point.
Yes.
Actually, slash bang is not that bad an idea.
I use Tidal in my testing implementation. Maybe that's what I don't know.
Use which?
Tidal.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, where it's sort of like divide. I think it's fine to have that. I think run it through an RFC and just get everybody's input on what unsafe ones should look like. I think another thing that if we're going to look at that is it turns out we could do all kinds of things with allowing arbitrary symbols with a slight change in the way the BNF works. And so we could discuss that as well. Then people could make the Popat operator in Pony. So obviously it's probably a bad idea, but the fact that we could do it, maybe we should discuss that as well. But yeah, let's do this. I think an RFC for the operators is good. I think Joe is right that an RFC for the semantics change is not necessary. This is actually totally fixing things.
Okay.
Okay, now done?
Now done.
Okay, Sylvan, don't go anywhere for a minute. Thanks, okay. Everybody, for coming, and see you next week.